Our text today is found in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1-10. In this epistle, this title is Our Position in Christ, refers to our spiritual position in Him. Verse 1-10 explains what God has done for sinners in general. Paul would like that, seems to be here, be nostalgic or trying to bring his listeners back to where they came from. By the way, this letter was written to believers in the Lord, to the church at Ephesus, not to unbelievers. Oftentimes we use Ephesians 2, verse 8, in personal evangelism, and there's nothing wrong with that. The verse will never change. We are still saved by grace. But the real context of this verse is for believers. In fact, verse 8 says, for by grace, are you saved? Past tense. Or another translation, by grace you have been saved. And we use this for unbelievers. They have not been saved yet. But we make it understand that salvation is by the grace of God, not of works. But the real context is for believers. Verse 1 says, and you hath he quickened, past tense, or made alive. So Paul is bringing them back to where they were, as sinners. Verse 1 to 10 explains when thou were still sinners. Addressed to believers. Sinners are dead. You were dead. Once upon a time, you were dead in trespasses and sins. And he said, but those who trust in Christ had been brought up to the throne of glory. This is a new position in Christ. Formerly we were here, dead. Now you have been raised up in that new position, a throne of glory in Christ. Verses 1 to 3, it's one of the long sentences, one of the longest sentences that Paul wrote. In fact, I believe, as far as I know, there's another long sentence in chapter 1, Ephesians 1, verse 3 to 6, verses 3 to 6. That's just one sentence, four verses. And then in chapter 2, verse 1 to 3, and you hath quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom you also walk, also have our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and according to the desire of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. Children of wrath. Paul reminds us here of four things. Verse 1 to 10, four things. First, what sin did to us. That's verse 1 to 3. Secondly, what God did for us, for you, Ephesian believers, and as well as for us. And then thirdly, that God works in you, believers at Ephesus, as well as for us. God works in us. Verse 10a. And finally, second part of that, verse 10, he says, how God works through us. First, what did sin do to us? 1 to 3, first says, we're dead. Dead. Spiritually dead. Unable to understand and appreciate and respond to the things, anything, to the things of the Spirit. A physically dead person has no senses. Do not respond to anything. So, the same way that a spiritually dead person is unable to respond to spiritual things until God gives him life. Until God gives him life. A corpse has nothing. No hearing, no feeling. When you go to funeral or funeral service, we have eulogy. You have say many things good about this man and woman who passed away. But there's no response. He doesn't feel. He doesn't hear. He's dead. It's for the listeners. It's not for a dead person. There's no response, no feeling. That's how sinners are. That's why you were said, corpse have no hearing, no feeling, no senses, no appetite. Jesus said, he told his disciples that they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not. Pertaining to the parable, he said, why do you speak in parables? Why? Because they are dead as a result of sin. And you hath he quickened who are dead in trespasses and sins. Romans 6:23, we have that familiar verse. The wages of sin is death. He is not sick. Sinners are not sick that needs to be resuscitated. But they are dead, they need resurrection. They need new life, to be raised into new life again. First, they were dead, and then secondly, in verse 2 and 3, disobedient describes how sinners are, how you were before. You were disobedient. Disobedience started in the Garden of Eden, and when Adam and Eve disobeyed, right that moment, they die spiritually. There was spiritual death. For as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin of Adam and Eve. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. So we die. All have sinned and come short, and all died in trespasses and sins. That's what you were before, Ephesian believers. Not only that the sinner is dead and disobedient, but he describes them as, in verse 3, little part of verse 3, he is depraved. You were depraved. During these days, before you were quickened, made alive, you were depraved. Past tense. Depraved means, a depraved person doesn't mean that he's not capable of doing anything good. A depraved person doesn't mean that all he does is are evil. No. But he is not capable of doing anything to merit salvation. He can't do anything to please God. Total depravity of man. Nothing. And then fourth, he is doomed. You are doomed. Verse 2. Verse 3. Paul said, you were the children of wrath. Children of wrath. Even as others, now you are not. We're children of wrath, even as others. He said, it's by nature. It's not your own doing. It's by nature. You're born an enemy of God. The children of wrath, the wrath of God is upon him. He is, in John chapter 3, verse 18, he that believeth not is condemned already. When I think of this condemned already, I always think of trash, the garbage, kitchen garbage trash. We put it in the garbage can, just waiting for waste management to pick it up, do whatever it is, burn, methylate, annihilate, whatever it is. He's condemned already. But then, thank God, we have that word. He has redeemed us. There is redemption. He has redeemed us from the trust through his death. Sentence has already been passed, condemned. But then he said in verse 1, and you have him made alive or quickened. That's what sin did to us, did to you. Secondly, what did God do for us? Verse 4 and 9, first word of verse 4, but God. That's the great difference. Sometimes in athletics, in games, basketball, baseball, whatever, we have star players. They're players who make the great difference. They star of the team. But God. First, He loves us. The great difference there is God, He loves us. Verse 4, He said, but God, who is rich in mercy, and for His great love, wherewith He loves us. He loves us. We are not worthy of that love. Love is a nature of God. Even if there were no sinners, God will still love. Even if there was only one sinner, God will still love that sinner and hate the sin. Love is one of God's attributes. God is love. Not that God has love, but in John it says, God is love. In relation to sinners, God's love is expressed in two words, mercy and grace. Whatever comes. Verse 4 says, God is rich in mercy. In mercy, He doesn't give us what we do deserve. And in grace, because of His great mercy. Verse 4, let me read that. But God is rich in mercy and His great love, wherewith He loves us. And grace, He said, verse 7, exceeding riches of His grace. Verse 7, God's exceeding riches. I like that King James translation. God's exceeding riches of His grace. Grace is giving what? Riches with grace, giving what you don't deserve. Mercy, withholding. Grace is giving what we do not deserve. That's the grace of God. He gives up what we don't deserve. And this is made possible through His death on the cross. Calvary displayed God's love for sinners. Still, that favorite verse of ours, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, John 3:16. Not only that He loved us, but in these verses, we pick these words, He quickened us. I don't know what, I haven't looked at NIV, the translation of NIV, but He made alive, quickened us, made alive. He made alive even when we were yet dead in sins. God quickened or made alive. This is the sinner's spiritual resurrection. He made us alive together with Christ. When Christ rose, that's why the doctrine of the resurrection of Christ is, we cannot lay aside. One of the major doctrines of the Bible is Christ's resurrection. For in this life, Paul said, for in this life only we have hope in Christ Jesus, where of all men most miserable, that is, if Christ did not rise from the dead. But because He resurrected from the dead, you were made alive together with Christ. That's our new position in Christ. That's why I have that title there. Not only that He loved us, not only that He quickened us, but He exalted us. Verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He exalted us, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. When I was reading this in King James Version, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. These three last words, in Christ Jesus, I've changed that in my, just in my note. Made us sit together in heavenly places where Christ is. I've changed that in Christ Jesus. I wrote there where Christ is. More familiar to me. That's more personal. Made me sit together where Christ is. This is our spiritual position, though physically we are still here on earth. And then the fourth thing that Paul told these Ephesian believers, he said, and this is very interesting. I've been blessed by this as in my while I was studying this. He said, he keeps us. Verse 7 to 9, he keeps us. God's purpose in saving us is not just to save us from hell, not just to save us from eternal punishment, but that the church may glorify him for his glory. Ephesians 1, in verse 1, chapter 1, verse 6, Ephesians. It's before verse 6 says, according to his, as he has chosen us before the foundation of the world. Verse 5, he predestined us, and then he adopted us. And then verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has accepted us in the beloved. So it's not just saving us from hell or punishment, but to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has accepted us in his beloved Son, Jesus Christ. It's for his glory. We are the glory of God, to praise him forever. And to fulfill this purpose, he'll keep us for all eternity. That's the security of the believer. That's the security of the believer. He will keep us from all eternity because he has purpose that we should be the praise of his glory in heavenly places, not only here on earth. That's the eternal security of the believer, not mainly for the believer. It was not, security of the believer was not given purposely for him, for his benefit, but for his glory, for his own praise and glory. John 3:16, we have eternal life in Christ Jesus. I've come across, I've talked to people who don't believe in eternal security of the believer because they said, it's dangerous, it will make believers lax. They'll say, anyway, I'm saved, I can do this. No, a truly born again person will not return off that way because there's a change in him. He will not just trust, oh, anyway, I'm saved, I'll do this. That's eternal, but our salvation is eternally secured because he's preparing us to be to the praise of his glory eternally. The work of saving us is just the beginning. Salvation is just the beginning. Sin works against us, and then God works for us. But then the third thing that Ephesians, that Paul mentioned here is God works in us. God works in us. First, sin works against us, dead. But God works, but God, verse 4, but God works for us. And then thirdly, he doesn't only work for us, but for our salvation, but God works in us. We are his workmanship. That's working in us. He works in us. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. God works in us through the Holy Spirit. Our conversion is not the end, but just the beginning. Christ is equipping us for our task here on earth as believers. Not only that, but the fourth thing is God also works through us. Not only that he works in us, but he works through us. Verse 10, also the same verse 10, we are not saved by works. Paul reminded Ephesian believers, you have not been saved by works, not by works that you have been saved, lest anyone should boast. But you have been saved unto good works. That's why God will work through you, believers. He will work through you. You have been saved unto good works. John Calvin once said, quoted, I quote, it is faith alone that justifies. But faith that justifies is not alone, or cannot be alone. It is faith alone that justifies, but faith that justifies cannot be alone. We are not saved by good works, but faith that works. James, in the book of James, mentioned about that, faith and works. Faith and works. There's no conflict between James and Paul in their writings. In Matthew 5:16, it says, "Let your light shine before men for two reasons, that they may see your good works, the purpose of which, and secondly, and glorify God, Father in heaven." Jesus' words. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Not to glorify ourselves. We work not for our own credit, glorification, not for our glory. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, Paul told us to abound in every good works. We should abound in every good works as believers in the Lord. Colossians 1:10, he said, be fruitful in every good work. Fruitful in every good work. Our good works in Hebrews 13 says our good works are our spiritual sacrifices. If you want to know that, Hebrews 13 verse 16. Our good works are our spiritual sacrifices that we offer to God. Referring to the sacrifices in the Old Testament, bulls, animals, he said, our good works are our spiritual sacrifices that we offer to God. Not for ourselves, not for our own credit, not for glory, but for the glory of God. We do not manufacture good works. We don't force ourselves to do good works. They are the results of God, of the work of God in us. He works through us. Not only that he works in us, but he works through us. Good works is the result of God's work of God in our hearts. Philippians 2:13 says, it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do. For what purpose? Of his good pleasure. For him, not for us. These good works in verse 10 were before ordained. King James says, before ordained. And NIV says, they were before ordained by God. And NIV says, they were prepared by God. Past tense. They were prepared by God that we should walk in them. So there's an eternal plan of God. Before saving us, even before we became believers, there's already a work, a plan prepared for us. They have been before ordained or prepared for us that we should walk in them. Christ has worked for you. Let him work in you and through you, all for his glory. Let's pray. Lord, we thank thee for, once again, we have been reminded of our condition before we were saved. That indeed, we thank you, Lord, it's only by the grace wherein we are what we are now. But oftentimes, we don't really do what you have commanded us. Forgive, Lord, we pray that you might go on and in everything we do it. We can do it all for the glory of God the Father, giving thanks to God. In Jesus' name. Amen.